The ongoing war against American history. That is our topic for this particular portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is Jarrett Stepman, who is a writer with the Heritage Foundation. You can see his work at dailysignal.com. Heritage.org also is the overall website. Jarrett, thanks so much for joining us again. And you wrote a book even on the war on history. What a great book.
Yes, thank you very much. I really tried to highlight exactly where the war on history is coming from, how it's been a building phenomenon for a long time. I think it really exploded, especially in 2020 and now, where you have, I think, vast institutions in this country under this republic that now are at war with the very ideas that undergirded what America is. And I think that's really the great battle, I think, of our time now politically, is over what America is, what it means, our history, and who we are as a people. I think those are the deepest, most important topics.
Well, it's very interesting. Anybody who is familiar with the book 1984 by George Orwell, where he has this, it's a novel, but he has this nightmare vision of the future, you know, with the control of Big Brother and so forth. And recently, the Biden administration was unleashing, or they were about to unleash, this disinformation board. And then they had to, I guess, they had to scale back because of the pushback, even from people on the left. But my goodness, this was just like something out of 1984. And speaking of 1984, you have history being put down the memory hole in that book. That's where that whole idea comes from. Go ahead and wax eloquent. The echoes to 1984 that we're seeing in our own time in this ongoing war on American history.
Yeah, it's really amazing. I mean, 1984 was supposed to be a warning, not a guide. I think it's amazing that the administration even tried to create it was really a sub-agency of the Department of Homeland Security, tried to create this agency with somebody who was very clearly a far-left partisan, who had a long paper trail of essentially assuming that anything that was against her very progressive views, whether it be fact or opinion, was simply disinformation. I think the idea of a government agency essentially deciding what is true or false for American society, I think that is very that idea is very much against our traditions and history. We have a culture of free speech in America. We have a constitution with a First Amendment that protects the right of speech and expression. The idea that a government agency should effectively handle that for the American people very much goes against our traditions as a country. I think that as more Americans, of course, if they understand what our country and traditions are about, I think they know that. I think that's why there was such a strong response to this. As you said, even from some on the left, who even when you hear the name of this, the government disinformation board, it sounds just like the Ministry of Truth. And I think that's a scary thing. But it's not just about the name. It's about what the function is. And I do worry that under another guise, under a more tepid name, the same kind of function is going to try to come back under this current administration, that they will try effectively to censor and to shut down people who effectively disagree with their message and their narrative.
You know, one of the things that plays into all this is, and I don't want to sound elitist at all, but is the sheer ignorance of the part or on the part of so many millions of fellow Americans. Our education system has failed. I'm sorry, but you see these interviews where the interviewer will go out on the streets, whether it's Jesse Waters or it's Mark Dice or it's somebody in some video I saw today where he was going out in New York City and he was asking just basic questions, you know, who did we fight against in the Civil War? Who were the combatants in the Civil War? When did America begin? You know, blah, blah, blah. Just basic questions. And the people have zero idea, so many of them, how to answer these things. So what is your comment about that, that this war on American history is, in part, it's being fed by an education system that fails to teach basic American history, for the most part?
Well, I think there is a strong failure of conveying civics to the American people. There's clearly, I mean, you look at polls, especially by the generations, my generation, millennials, particularly struggles in this department, and younger generations are just as bad. I think that there is absolutely a dearth of understanding about civics, about our nation's history. I mean, most of the time, I think young people, when they're taught about American history, are taught simply that America is guilty of a series of bad things without any without any context of the many good things that we are about and the many things that undergird our way of life. I think that is missing. I think what's even more disturbing than just the simple, I think a lot of times, ignorance from the general population is how much even now the American elite is now deficient in the same department. They work tediously and tirelessly to upend our traditions, to effectively carry out that narrative that America is a fundamentally was a broken country from the beginning, that it was a racist slavery racist country built on slavery, and these kind of ideas that I think pervade, I think, the elite institutions of America, that were, even those who are considered elite don't have a basic understanding of how our system is supposed to operate. I mean, it's incredible that anybody would even concoct something like a Ministry of Truth here in the United States. I think previous generations would have been aghast at that, the very idea that they would try to push this, and that it's an idea that's very popular among many of the elites in our society, shows a much deeper problem, one that's more difficult, I think, to get rid of, that I think the American people need to be very much aware of.
When you see, you keep referring to the Ministry of Truth, this is a concept out of 1984, and the Ministry of Truth stands for anything but truth, which is interesting. You know, there's a phenomenon among the Democrats, mostly, where you see they'll pass a law. So, for example, they passed, or they tried to pass a law, or they couldn't get it, you know, signed into law because they couldn't get both the House and the Senate to sign on. But the law was essentially an election reform bill, as they saw it. They called it for the people, but I heard a critic say, well, really it was for the corrupt politicians. That's what that bill was. They were trying to federalize our elections instead of allowing them to be state by state, which is what the Constitution explicitly says. When you're talking about the elitists often being ignorant of basic civics, did not AOC say about a year ago that the three branches of government are the House, the Senate, and the presidency? I mean, this is crazy what we're up against.
It is rather daunting when you consider, again, you consider so many of those who should be considered elite in our society don't understand basic facts that I think a few generations ago would have been common even to somebody who just graduated the eighth grade. I think that's an incredibly worrying fact. And the fact that we have many agencies and departments, the vast leviathan of our federal government that is staffed by many people who have called many things wrong, yet seem to want to argue that they have authority, that they have expertise that shall not be questioned. And again, that's why the idea of a Ministry of Truth or government disinformation board that I think was going to be disseminating more disinformation than it would be actually getting rid of. That's why this whole idea, I think, is a fundamentally flawed one and a broken one. Are bureaucrats the ultimate arbiters of what's true and what's false in society? Can we rely on the government to do so? I think even in the best of times, with the best of people in government, I think that's a flawed analysis. But I think what we see is with so many of those who, again, calling themselves experts, calling themselves the authorities, how many times they've gotten issues wrong or have engaged in, I think, ideological politics from their office. We're essentially want to imbue them with the authority to shut people up who disagree with them. I mean, that's the thing of authoritarian regimes. That's the thing of tyrannical governments, not the free government, the free society, the republic that we have. And I think that would be a massive flip in our way of life, and that I think many see coming with way the ideas and policies that have been pushed, especially by progressive Democrats.
When did America begin? In 1776 or 1619?
Well, the obvious answer to me is 1776, but I think, you know, I think that is a major problem for our society, in which we are now, unlike I think much of our history, we are divided on that issue. I think previous battles, political fights in America have often been over policies, over the size of government, over taxes, you name it. But most celebrated what this country was from its beginning, from its foundation. We could disagree on many policies, but we agree that America is a fundamentally built on the right thing, on these certain fundamental truths. And I think that when you have that kind of argument where you're not sure if the country is good or it's outright evil, I think that's why our politics are so fraught today and why there is such this war over history in our country right now.
You know, it's so interesting to me. In some ways, all roads lead back in terms of the problems in our society. Many of these roads lead back to Karl Marx. Seriously, Howard Zinn, for example, who poisoned the minds of millions of people with his flawed history about America, Marxist in his perspective. Critical race theory, which is, poisoning the minds of many young people and children, in America, and even making them racist in the attempt to supposedly fight racists, gets back to Karl Marx and the philosophy of Marx. And even the whole 1619 project, which postulates that America began in 1619, not 1776, that America was all about slavery, that was the purpose of it. It's crazy, but it all gets back to the failed philosophy of Karl Marx, and Marxism leads everywhere to falsehood, to death. And by the way, 1984 was written by a former Marxist who came to loathe the very thing that he had once espoused.
It is amazing. Orwell, I think, at very bottom line, was committed to the truth, and he witnessed what happened with the Soviet regime. He witnessed how communist regimes often, as he said famously, those at the top, some become more equal than others. I think he witnessed this firsthand, the violence and tyranny of those regimes, and gave a warning to the rest of our society about it. I think that needs to be more, especially in the education of younger people. Again, a lot of the polls are deeply disturbing that the basic level of information that a millennial or Gen Z American knows about communist regimes in history and the ones that still exist is very small. That's why I'm so much in favor of a lot of these bills. There's one been in Florida that was passed, including the teaching about communism. I think younger students especially need to know this history. They need to know about Stalin. They need to know about Mao. They need to know about Cuba and the current communist regime and communist China. I mean, this evil is still with us. It's not something that went away at the end of the Cold War. This is a battle of ideas that continues on today. For Russia, it gave them a century of communist tyranny, of Marxist tyranny, that really destroyed the spirit of that society. These are not things that a people can just recover from with the snap of a fingers. I think it's done incredible damage in human history. I don't think there's ever been an idea that has been so utterly destructive and so outright has killed so many outright people. I mean, the death toll caused by Soviet and Marxist regimes is absolutely staggering, even in comparison to natural disasters. I mean, this is Marxism is a human caused disaster and has led many people across the world to be led back into slavery and tyranny, something that we should want to do away with forever. And I think that in America, I think we have the great example of a free society versus tyrannical ones. Young people should be taught and educated about that so that we don't try the same mistakes that those other societies did in embracing these horrible ideas.
Okay, we have about 45 seconds left. Concluding on that very thought, you know, that gets back to your very thesis. Karl Marx said, and I'm going to paraphrase him, that we can change society if you can separate a people from their own history. And is that not, in effect, the your book, The War on History, is in effect dealing with the results, but Marx is the one who provided the cause. Okay, 40 seconds to finish on this whole topic.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely the case that when you sever a people from their history, it's easy to give them essentially radical views in opposition to it. And I think that's absolutely what's happened in the last few years. There has been a war on American history on all fronts. It's been relentless, trying to change and poison the minds, especially of young Americans who don't have the education in our great history as previous generations did. I think that this war will lead ultimately, if it's lost, to tyranny in this country. It's why we have to continue to educate, continue to embrace and support our country's, while very much imperfect, past, our great past that has led to freedom and prosperity for millions of people through the generations.
And what is the website? Is it dailysignal.com or thedailysignal.com?
Yeah, you can check out my work at dailysignal.com. You can also find it through the heritage.org website. That's the Heritage Foundation and heritage.org.
Jared Stepman, thank you so much. All the best.
Thank you very much.